It's a cruel, cruel world nowadays when you're asking those questions 2 minutes after the World Cups. We've been knocked out of the World Cup. And if you'd find it inside you to find a little bit of compassion for people who are hurting, to just ask the more relevant questions, because I'll tell you, for me, I came here with only one thought in my mind about winning here, and that thought's just disappeared now, not 15, 20 minutes ago. And I know that that's what the papers demand, but perhaps whatever your news outlet is or whatever, should think about people's feelings for a minute. Just chill.
Well, it might be, Dale, the game they play in heaven, but Michael Checker, the now former Wallabies coach, certainly a long way from there. That was his reaction after they lost to the Poms 40-16. And a journo, and a man who was in the room, no doubt about it, he's a chief rugby reporter for the Courier Mail. I wonder if he even asked the question. Jim Tucker, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's pretty tense there, old mate. That wasn't you that delivered that hard hitter, was it?
No, not at all. It was the question on everyone's lips, though, and Michael Checker had essentially set himself up for that question, really. Since last year, when he got the extension into World Cup year, he said, basically, it's glory or bust. I get them to the final, or I get the Wallabies to win the World Cup, or I'm gone. So he set the bar himself, and we've been through enough tortured moments with AFL coaches going mid-season or NRL coaches going before the finals to know it's never a pretty sight when the writing's plainly on the wall, and that's what it was at the Rugby World Cup.
How do we view his legacy then, Jim? He's always been a passionate character, 5 years in charge. How will he be remembered?
That's a really good question. 2015 World Cup got the team to the final against the All Blacks, played some riveting rugby, thrashed England, kicked them out of their own World Cup by beating them by 20 at Twickenham. Superb performance, beat Wales, beat Scotland, beat Argentina, all intense games. So 2015, his stocks were absolutely at their highest. No matter what the passion is, no matter what the gut feeling is, you've got to go on the numbers. And since that time, he's only been Mr. 38% against top nations, 2016 to now. So the record just wasn't there. Hadn't been able to beat the All Blacks consistently, apart from that brilliant win in Perth just a few months ago. So the record there, it wasn't there. And I guess the thing Australians are most upset about is that we were totally outsmarted by England. And to be outsmarted by the Poms, that's a hard one to crack.
Jim, is our expectation of Michael Checker, or the coach of our rugby team nationally, is it realistic about what we want to get out of him? You mentioned some of the numbers, and the numbers don't lie. Is that where our players are at and our playing group is at, or is this a reflection of probably where we are actually at?
It's a reflection of the codes situation. Rugby has struggled for a bit of cut through, and when you rely on one result every 4 years to nourish the entire code, which is have a really successful Rugby World Cup just to put a glow across the whole code, it's a really tough standard to meet, because the domestic competition in Super Rugby is spluttering a little bit. We're not beating the All Blacks who we play 2-3 times a year. So you just want that glow from that big result of the World Cup. So it's a real high bar that is set, and it's been a complete fail.
Were you surprised by Michael Checker's comments regarding his relationship with the CEO and the chairman? And ultimately, how does that make you feel as a lover of the game, knowing that three of the most important roles in rugby, they're not getting along?
That's a really good question. I think that was a bit of a shock to everyone, that Checker would say, pretty much, I've got no relationship with my CEO, Raylene Castle. You want that to be the closest relationship that you have in your sport. Of course, there's a circuit breaker with Scott Johnson, who's the director of rugby, and Checker gets on very well with him, and he's also one of the selectors. But Checker's always been that sort of volatile, lone wolf, very intelligent, very passionate. A lot of his players will speak extremely fondly of Checker, what they've done, and what he's done to enhance their careers. Someone like the former bad boy, James O'Connor, he's come back from the wilderness and played really well this year. He was lost to the game. Checker brought him back into the fold. He's overlooked some personal problems with different players. James Slipper, the prop, has played really well this year. Checker's been very encouraging of him, and he had a cocaine incident in his recent past and had depression. Checker brought him back in the fold brilliantly. So there's a lot of personal and human sides to Michael Checker that are very likeable.
Jim, we've got about 60 seconds before the news, but how much heat should there be on Raylene Castle and the ARU board?
Well, there should be huge heat when we get now to the next decision, which is basically, in an AFL comparison, would you ever put Nathan Buckley as coach of Carlton? Probably never, ever, because it's not a great fit. He's a Carlton great. We've got now the situation, we've got a Kiwi CEO who's probably leaning very strongly towards appointing a New Zealander to coach the Wallabies, and that brings in a fierce debate of why isn't there an Aussie good enough to coach the Wallabies into this next cycle. So that'll be the next debate, and that's another a real head spinner for rugby to deal with.
It'll be a fascinating watch, Jim, no doubt about it. You deserve a couple of Sapporos, I reckon, over there after this. Let your hair down. Thanks for joining us this morning.
I'm an Asahi man.
All right. Very nicely, Jim. Very nice. I saw the Poms will got their hearts set on a few Asahis. They've got New Zealand. What about a semi-final?
Yes.
Poms, Kiwis. Eddie Jones, speaking of Aussie coaching the English. Wales, South Africa in the other semi-final as well. They don't get much bigger than those four teams, those two matchups there. Meredith Gibbs, ready and waiting. The SEN Newsroom.